I feel like it denotes me, Alan Smith, but we'll publish stories out of today's Prison Journal on Monday, March 18th. So we've survived our holidays, and plane crashes or disasters, and getting up there doing. And we had a rare old time, really lovely time in Olhão, in Portugal. So I can certainly recommend it. And if anybody's thinking of going here, that or Tavira, rare wee places. And the Pure Formosa Hotel was exceptionally good, I would say. So if you're thinking about going here, you could do a lot worse, I would say. Anyway, that's enough of my Portugal ambassador role. Back onto the P&J front page today is, I feared I'd bleed to death as medics ignored my pleas. This is a Northeast Mama 3 has told how she feared she would die in hospital with a ruptured fallopian tube, claiming NHS Grampian medics initially dismissed her extremely painful warning signs. Bobby Jackson was taken to ARI after she suffered a life-threatening ectopic pregnancy. The 25-year-old was screaming in pain as she waited 45 minutes for an ambulance to arrive at her house in the city, and says she was then ignored when she and her husband Cameron told doctors she was bleeding internally. Bobby says she was told that scans couldn't see any rupture and that she would be sent home after a short observation period. Oh my God. Eventually, a doctor for Robbie Credits, who saved her life, recommended an operation where medics discovered a rupture on her left tube along with 500 ml of blood in her stomach. God almighty. She says it was very scary. I've been through labour 3 times and this was so much worse. It's been like stabbed 100 times. She's lodged a complaint with NHS Grampian over her ordeal last month. She said, wifey's and their reproductive pain is just seen as a joke sometimes. You're told it's constipation or it's trapped wind, and it actually can be a condition that is life-threatening. NHS Grampian confirmed it is investigating her case. So, well, that doesn't sound very good of her. And, you know, I used to be a good old... Terry Wogan used to, think about it, because I used to sell stuff for trapped wind. But then I really went for Kataka, because wind like that is normally best kept trapped, and then makes when folks' noses exposed. But anyway, you know, that joking aside, it doesn't sound like a great thing. That's wife he's endured, so hopefully we'll get to the bottom of that good wrong, and, you know, when I'm making the same mistake again, for that's kind of things involved. Now there's a takeaway to close over food stench. So a controversial Caribbean takeaway in Aberdeen will be forced to close if their neighbours complained about overpowering cooking smells. Simon Arthurs of NEMS Blends Limited opened at 693 George Street without planning permission. Well, that's not a great start, I wouldn't say. He has been serving exotic dishes for the shop for about 6 months, and this week faced a council hearing on his application to keep the takeaway alive. An apologetic Mr. Arthur said he wasn't aware such paperwork was required to convert the former Shannon's Locks and Beauty Salon into a food vendor. Oh my God, okay. Its menu offers staples like jerk chicken, rice and peas, goat curry and plantain, with some online customers praising dishes as tender and delicious. Maybe, you know, some folk maybe did like it. But anyway, residents at nearby properties did not share the same joy, saying the venue is disturbing a quiet neighbourhood. It was amid claims that Mr. Arthurs had set up a barbecue in their back garden, spreading the scent of his grilled chicken far and wide. And now councillors have voted against the advice of Aberdeen's planning officials in the neighbour's favour. The row over the smelly Caribbean takeaway erupted as soon as planning application was open for comments. Neighbours were quick to kick up a stink to Aberdeen City Council, citing problems with an overpowering stench wafting into their houses on a regular basis. Somebody complained about it was like a shared back garden, which makes it even worse, I would say. So, another person was worried the smell could attract rats and foxes to the area. Oh, crikey. And Nancy Irwin, who has lived directly above 693 for 14 years, accused Mr. Arthurs of ruining ruining their manicured and well-loved green space, the plans were eventually thrown out unanimously. So if you're needing a goat curry, you'll have to, you know, rake somewhere else, but you're not going to get it up in George Street now. So the fine smells of George Street will return to normal. Now here is a DNA spray to help get grip on joyriders. So this is an almost invisible spray used by the Bobbies to tag antisocial joyriders. It is to be trialled for the first time in Aberdeen today. Officers will carry single-use handheld canisters of synthetic DNA liquid that can be squirted at offenders for several metres away to leave a unique long-lasting stain. Perpetrators could later be caught if the chemical is detected when an ultraviolet light scans suspects in police custody or items associated with them. The presence of select DNA tagging spray, which is aimed at bicycles, scooters, e-bikes and motorbikes, or the skin and clothing of riders and their passengers, provides an irrefutable forensic link to a specific crime. God almighty. Use of it in the northeast comes after concerns with illegal and antisocial activity in certain areas of the city, including Seaton, Tullydrone, Northfield, Massac and Torrey. So, the usual suspects. The effectiveness of select DNA was first tested by Police Scotland in Edinburgh in 2018 as part of Operation Soteria, a response to the theft and reckless use of motorbikes across the capital. It involved the purchase of off-road bobbies, bikes and other innovative approaches, including the tag and spray. Anti-social motorbike calls to Edinburgh officers fell by 60% between April and June 2018. So the bobbies are saying they're all for it, and if it's successful, larger canisters with almost double the current range could be purchased for the region. The bobbies' big chief inspector, Darren Bruce, said, "We're waiting to see if it's going to get the benefit for it. It is something that I foresee is continuing to have beyond the pilot," the chief inspector added. Select DNA is as reliable as forensic DNA evidence presented in court because the liquid is unique to its canister, with each can's contents containing a one-of-a-kind chemical code that doesn't exist anywhere else in nature. Select DNA is extremely resistant to repeated attempts to remove it and can remain on an offender for months by clinging to clothing fibres or sitting in the creases of their skin. God almighty. Well, you know, you'll kind of hear again bobbies chasing if you're trying to catch you and can't quite get you. If he sprays you with this stuff, you're almost certainly snookered at some point in the future. So, stick it in the eyes, bobbies. Now, there's been a very famous competition now, the Colin Skink, and it says Spooner Scoops Judges Prize for Colin Skink. So, it was a tough choice for judges and the public at this year's Colin Skink World Championships, with so many delicious bowls of the Murray delicacy on offer. The hotly contested competition was held at the Seafield Arms in Colin yesterday. In the morning, a traditional Colin Skink was on offer. Then it was on an afternoon of, with a twist, bowls served up to a large crowd. And then a taste bud tangling twist, the judges' overall winner in both categories was not the same as the people's choice at the annual festival. There was 12 entrants in each competition, meaning 24 bowls of soup for tasters. Oh, delicious. I kind of beat Colin Skink. From BBC journalists to hotel owners, there was a whole host of different takes on Colin Skink for the large audience to taste. The judge's choice was awarded to the managing director of the Aberlour Hotel, Kelly Spooner. She took both the traditional and the with a twist prizes. Lifting the prize of the people's choice was Kai Uwe Stutzkiewicz for his With a Twist broth, and Alison Taylor, also of the Aberlour Hotel, for her traditional take on the soup. Colin Skink is a creamy and hearty combination of smoked haddock, tatties, ingans and milk. Just absolutely delicious. Kai served up an unusual green soup thanks to a pesto he makes with foraged wild garlic. Oh, God. It was a brilliant day and a nice competition. Folk, especially the chefs, were very friendly. It was so good to be able to take part. Kai, who was originally from Germany but currently works in Ayrshire, said, "I added wild garlic that I had foraged in Maybole and some German ham to give my Colin Skink a sooty flavour. I served up a green bowl of soup. It is St. Patrick's Day after all. Well, very clever, very clever. I made a pesto with a wild garlic and added it to the soup. It was a spring soup made with local and seasonal vegetables. I tasted all the soups and I couldn't have picked up one myself. They were all delicious. Organisers Discover Cullen said the 2024 competition was held in memory of Graham Bell, Discover Cullen treasurer and secretary, who sadly passed away in December 22. Graham is well known in Cullen and played an integral role in Discover Cullen, from managing the tourist office and organising the Cullen Skink World Championships. Thank you to the competitors, spectators, judging panel, the Lord Lieutenant of Bamshire, the organising committee, and our host at the Seafield Arms for an amazing day. Well, that just would be, a, you know, for a rare day, that would be tasting Cullen Skink all day. Lovely jubbly. Now, here's time for City Rolex Project to take a step for us. This is a renovation works to transform a vacant Union Street unit into a Rolex showroom have begun. The luxury watch store is scheduled to open in October and is part of Jameson & Carey's £1 million Granite Mile expansion. Hoarding has appeared outside the shop, which will allow the Aberdeen jeweller, the only official Rolex retailer in the North East, to stock a wider collection. Jameson & Carey bought the unit from the clothing store All Saints closed in 2019, but it has been empty ever since. It officially lodged the plans to add two units to its premises last summer, with Rolex to be housed next door to the family-owned business. The refurbishments are in the final stages of a two-year plan, which has been supported by Aberdeen City Council's planning department. All the windows are going to be upgraded to improve security of the high-value stock, with a security grille and roller shutters also expected to be added to further protect the building. Philip Carey, partner at Jameson & Carey, said, "We're very excited for this next stage of the project to begin. The redevelopment of our Union Street presence will see the creation of a new Rolex showroom and underpins our commitment to Union Street and the city." So, well, that'll be certainly going to be worth getting to look around there now. And I wonder if, you know, if it's only reduced deans, they might be willing to swap for some oatcakes or shortbread or tablet. You know, Mr. Carey, gives a shout. And I'll just finish up with sport as normal. The back page paper today is a new boss will inherit a quality squad, says Barron. So midfielder Conor Barron insists Aberdeen next permanent manager will inherit a quality squad, despite the Dons being in a dogfight at the wrong end of the table. He reckons the 1-0 win at Motherwell can be the turning point for a struggling Don side to prove their worth by moving away from the relegation danger. So, well, fingers crossed that's what happens. And, you know, from the day we get some new ball had in, you know, he can get them going in the right direction, because it's just been a lot of false dawns. But, you know, certainly winning on Saturday was an important day. We Ross County beating Hearts, I think, so all to play for, that's for sure. You know, one other bit of news, and if the fit by front we kind of ignore it, is in a big picture in the back page and that about Man United thrashing Liverpool. 4-3 in a fantastic game. It was on ITV. If you've got access to ITV player, wherever you are, you can watch the whole thing again at 90 minutes plus extra time. And it was a tremendous game, absolutely fantastic. Obviously, with the right result in the end, and sent the Scousers back home and nae quadruple for them. So that's good news. Well, like I say, back to the Aberdeen, and here's hoping the new manager can get in shortly and see if he's got to work with and get them going for next season. So come on, Aberdeen. No, that's me done for the announcement. The wee booklet stories of today's Press and Journal on Monday, 18th of March 2024. And fantastic day today, actually, up in Aberdeen. It was a very bright and sunny hail day. And, you know, I'm not sure if it degrees it was up till, but it was certainly well into double figures on the way. It was maybe about 13, 14 or something like that. It was certainly a cracking day. So, you know, folk kind of say we didn't take a fine weather back with the Portugal face, that's for sure. So I'm not sure how long it's going to be fine like this, but not overly longer than I think. But anyway, we'll make the best of it finish here. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Now, if you did, please make sure and tell somebody about it. If you can ask them to follow us on Spotify, that is what the cool folk do. And if you could let them kind of the day, they can listen to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of all episodes. And, you know, if they're ever feeling fed up, they can with only headphones, listening to Dora Kate Express for hours on end, and hopefully I'll be a wee bit less depressed and more depressed. Anyway, and if we can manage that, we'll be just dandy. In the meantime, thanks so much. Cheers now. Doodaloo.